In the book of John, chapter 1 this evening, I appreciate the good singing today and the fellowship with you, and I hope you've enjoyed this day. I know that I have. In John chapter 1, reading in verse 1, there'll be a little bit of repetition as we get into this, especially into this first chapter. But he said in verse 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now let me just stop right there. I know we'll not get any farther than this. I'm not even sure we'll get this far, but I was thinking of picking up maybe next week with verse 14, where the Word was made flesh. But let's just stop here. Father, we thank You tonight. The Word of God, we thank You for the time that You've given us together this day. And Lord, in fellowship and singing the songs of Zion and worshiping Thee together. And God, I pray tonight Your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Thy Word. And I pray that the truth that we've looked at today will go with us throughout this week. And Lord, we just pray that You'll bless each family in this church, and pray, God, that Your will to be done in each of our lives. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, what I'd like to do is maybe just a little review. Let's pick up in verse 3. This is a wonderful book and a wonderful chapter that we begin with. And you'll notice with me that in verse 3, he's dealing with the fact that Jesus Christ was involved with creation. He said in verse 3, "And all things were made by Him." The all things here embrace, has to do with matter, has to do with the universe, has to do with everything. And he said in verse 3, "And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." I want you to notice with me in verse 10. He said in verse 10, "And He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." I remember years ago, I remember the Russellites, the JWs, coming to me, and I've met with them several times. And I remember them saying to me, and I've heard them boast of this, that the book of John is the best book to prove that Jesus was not the Son of God. And I've always thought that the book of John was the best book in the Bible to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, we continuously, as we began, and we've actually not been in this chapter for a week or two, but we began in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then in verse 14, "That Word was made flesh." We'll talk about that again next week. But as we come here, you'll notice with me that Jesus Christ made all things. This book is dealing with deity. Now, as we come to this chapter, I want you to think about something. In the Old Testament, I believe that I mentioned this the last time we met. In the Old Testament, we find that God often proved Himself to be God with this very thing. In other words, talking about creation. For instance, and we're not going to turn to these, but in Isaiah 40 and verse 12, verse 28, in Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 4, and in Jeremiah 10 verse 11 and 12, the Lord proved that He was God by saying, "I created all things." In other words, they get talking about gods and this, that, and the other, and the nations had their gods, and the Lord said, "Look here, I'm the one that created everything." Well, as we step into the book of John, and we're also looking at the issue of the deity of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. And we begin in this chapter, in verse 3, he begins declaring the fact that He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son of God, and that He created all things. Many verses that bear this out. Now I'm going to turn to one or two, then I'm going to refer to some. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'll give you some other references. Now again, there may be a little repetition in this, but I believe that this will be important to us as we begin laying a foundation as we get into the book of John. In Colossians chapter 1, in reference to Jesus Christ, I want to begin reading, I'm just going to cut into the text in verse 14. Again, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're taking notes, in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, these verses I'm going to give you are simply saying that Jesus Christ was involved in creation in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to turn there, verses 2 and 3 and verse 10 deals with the same thing. In Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 14, Revelation 4 and in verse 11, let me give you one other passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. And there's others, but these verses directly say that Jesus Christ was involved. He is the Creator. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, it says, now this is a reference to Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Notice that He is the image of the invisible God. As we get on down in the John chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 16, and especially verse 17 and 18, we'll see the importance of this. He is the image of the invisible God. He says here in verse 16, "For by Him," a reference to Christ, "were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is the before all things, and by Him all things consist." So He not only created all things were created for Him, but we find that all things are held together, they consist by Him. Turn to one other passage in Hebrews chapter 1. And I've said this many times, I said it a few weeks ago. One of the attacks when people want to attack Christianity, they go after the person and work of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. That's what the Da Vinci Code is all about, and the occults and the occults. They will attack the person of Christ. In other words, what do you mean by that? I mean who that He is, and they'll attack His work. In other words, what did He accomplish at Calvary's cross? See, we believe that He is God manifest in the flesh, and we're going to deal with that later as we get into verse 14, 15, and 16. The Bible in 1 Timothy talks about the mystery of godliness in chapter 3 and verse 16, and it says, "And God was manifest in the flesh." So we'll look at some of those verses later on. But we see that as we begin the book of John, he's describing our Savior as our Creator. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now God did speak to people in the Old Testament, different ways, different times, and He spoke with the prophets, and He said this in verse 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." Then He said in verse 3, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person," notice that, "and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Well, these are wonderful passages, and again, it doesn't matter whether we understand everything about it. We know that these are pointing to the deity, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back with me, please, to John chapter 1. And again, in the Old Testament, God many times would prove that He is God by referring to creation. Well, we begin in John chapter 1, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ here is proven to be, our Savior and our Lord by creation. Now, you know, when we read in Hebrews, it says God has spoken. His final word, by the way, is through His Son. He spoke through the prophets, but His final word is of course, through His Son. And in Hebrews there, we'll go back later and get that and look at it. But we find that He's the heir of all things in Hebrews 1:2. And He is the Creator of all things in Hebrews 1:2. And He is the express image of His person in Hebrews 1 and in verse 3. And again, you don't have to be intelligent to understand that there's something very unique about Jesus Christ. He is not a created being. He is not the brother of Lucifer. He is not, He is our Savior and our Lord and our God. Well, we come back here and He says in verse 3, He says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, as we step into verse 4, He says in verse 4, He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me give you some thoughts and just a few verses on the issue of the fact that He says here that in Him was life. You know, I think about Acts 17, verse 28, I believe it is. That, you know, I don't ask you to turn there, but I will read it. And I'm afraid I'll misquote it. In Acts chapter 17, we got several of the verses I want to give you. Verse 28, talking about the Lord. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And so we find that Jesus Christ, He says here in verse 4, in Him was life. Now I want you to think about that. Throughout the book of John, we see this truth. John chapter 5, in verse 26, the Bible says this. It says in John 5 and in verse 26, let me get over there. It says, and for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. John 6 in verse 33 speaks of the same thing. John 11 verse 25 and 26, Jesus there, when Lazarus has died, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, if you're taking notes. And I'll read just a few of those verses to you. In other words, the point is that He is the originator of life and light. God is called the living God. Why? Because He's the source of all life. He is the true and living God. And the same is said about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is life. In Him is life. But not only is in Him is life, He is also the light of the world. Notice in, I'm going to be reading in 1 John chapter 5. And again, there's many, many verses that deal with this issue of life and life. I'll give you just a few of those. If you're taking notes, 1 John 1, verses 4 through 9. We're going to read in chapter 5. 1 John 2 and verse 8. I mean, it's all through the New Testament that we see this issue. Now, Isaiah 49 and verse 6, He was prophesied to be a light not only to the Jewish nation, but also to the Gentile nations as well. And that is fulfilled and spoken about in the book of Acts chapter 13 and in verse 47. Jesus spoke about those who sit in darkness, Matthew 4, verses 15 and 16. But Jesus brought life, and He brought light unto them. 1 John 5 and 11, He says this, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, rather, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we find that life and light is associated with our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 8, St. John chapter 8, we find that in verse 12, we find this. He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Life and light associated together with Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that this is important that we have life? We know that in Genesis 2:7 that man became a living soul when God breathed into man. And he was light. He not only was given life, but there was light associated, and he was distinguished from the animals. He became a living soul. So as we come and look at this again, Jesus Christ is the originator of life and light. This is spoken of as God, of God throughout the Old Testament, and the New Testament is spoken of with Jesus Christ. And again, there's many passage is dealing with the issue of life and light. I want you to turn with me, please, to chapter 3 in John, dealing with light compared with darkness. And by the way, the Bible says that you and I are to reflect this light. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we're to let our light shine. Amen? And in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16, we're to be to let our light shine among the nations. And so Christians are to let their light shine. They're to be a light. Notice with me in John, in the book of John in chapter 3, talking about light. He says here in chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So we're talking about life and light in reference to death and darkness. And Jesus Christ is light of the world. He said that men here, he said that they love darkness. And the light exposes them. You know, like roaches, man. They usually run whenever the lights come on. Amen? Because it exposes them, you see. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And notice with me in chapter 2. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Yeah, those roaches, they'll get out of Dodge when you start turning on lights, unless you're feeding them, and they might hang around. I've lived in places, lived in many different states, and I believe there's been roaches about everywhere that I've ever lived. Florida was one of the worst places. They had some there that could carry out in the field if you weren't careful. You know, had some pretty good-sized roaches there. And remember one time before I got married, I may have told you a story before, that me and three other men, sailors that was in the Navy, we set up housekeeping in a tent. We lived in a tent for several months, and we tried to rotate out in different ones as on duty, but there's four of us. We set it up on the beach back under the trees on the naval base in Pensacola, Florida. And we left that thing up for months and stayed in that thing And what we would do is that if one, you know, somebody had duties, somebody else, you know, watched over the thing and things like that. But when it come time for me to get married, my three generous buddies, they decided they was going to give me a wedding present. You know what it was? It was that tent. And so they gave me the tent. And so anyway, I had a Chevy Nova, and I put that thing in my car and carried it around for a little while before I put it in storage. And guess what? There was some roaches got in my car. And you could open a door. And as soon as the light comes on, it looked like 1,000 roaches, man, they would just be gone. I didn't think I was ever going to get rid of those roaches. I finally got rid of them. My wife wasn't real crazy about them. But I finally got rid of them. But when the light came on, they would flee, you see. The car was just full of them. But notice with me, as we come to Ephesians, talking about life, light, darkness, and death. He said in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said in chapter 2 and in verse 1. He said, "And you hath he quickened." That is, means to be made alive. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We're called children of wrath in verse 3. But come down with me to chapter 4. In chapter 4 in verse 17, he says this. He said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now look, having their understanding darkened. Notice that. They're in darkness. They sit in darkness. They walk in darkness. He said, being alienated from the life of God. Notice you got the issue of life and light both in this passage. And he said, "And to the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And so as we look at this, we find that all lost people, it doesn't matter how nice they are in darkness. I don't care if they can quote Scripture and they pray to God. The Bible says that they're in darkness and they need to be quickened. They need to be made alive. They need to be given eternal life, and they need to have light that they might be able to see. And then chapter 5, you'll notice with me in verse 8, he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness," talking to Christians, "but now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light." Then he says in the same chapter in verse 11, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." One other passage on this. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 26. This is the Paul's ministry. He's given account, giving a testimony of his salvation. I've had people say to me, "Brother Reed, I don't know how to witness." Just give your testimony. You don't have to be a theologian. You know, just tell them how you come to know the Lord. We see Paul doing this several times. He loved to just say, "Hey, let me tell you how to be saved, how I got saved." You know, you may not even have to tell them how they can be saved. Just tell them how you got saved. Notice we're in Acts chapter 26. Let's begin reading in verse 16. Paul recounting his salvation. He says here, talking about the Lord, he says in verse 16, "But rise and stand up on thy feet, and I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. To open..." Now look at the verse now. We're talking about life, death, light, and darkness. And he says here, here's his ministry, sent out to the Jew and the Gentile, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he had a ministry to turn, to open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, to show them how that they can be translated out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son, as I mentioned in Colossians chapter 1. Well, turn back with me, please, and as we come back to the book of John again, and notice in chapter 1. We find here that he says in verse 4, talking about Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who was the Word and was in the beginning and with the God and was with God and was God. He says here in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And you know it is true, is it not? When you get saved, God turns on the light of the Holy Spirit. That is true. That is true. And, you know, not only when we get saved, you know, and, you know, you say, "Well, I can see that. I can understand that," you see. Yeah. You can see the truths of the cross. Some of these songs that we've sung here today, like the old rugged cross and some of the others, you know, these become reality to us, you see. But not only that, as a Christian, as you walk along in your Christian life, you read the Bible and you study it, and it's like a light comes on with certain truths and certain things, you see. Illumination. He says in verse 5, he said, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Now notice, as we step into verses 6 through 8, I want to make a few comments. And by the way, he says in verse 8, just jumping ahead just a moment, talking about John the Baptist, said, "And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." And he says here, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." So here's a man in verse 6. He says in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." And he said in verse 7, "And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist had a tremendous ministry. He stood in the gap between the old covenant and the new. He was almost like Noah. Noah stood between two worlds. He stood in the gap between the old world and the new world, the world that was flooded and the new world. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John ended up losing his life for his stand for the truth and so forth with King Herod. And we find here that in these passages, he said, and there was a man. Notice he was a man. God uses men and women. And he says here, and he was sent from God. He had a divine call. And he said, whose name was John. I want you to turn with me to chapter 3. One or two things I want to point out to you about John. In Luke 1, the Bible says he is a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness. He was commissioned and equipped from his mother's womb. John stood in the gap between the Old and the New Testament. They knew that a prophet had been in the land when John came. They knew that. And notice with me in John chapter 3. Read a couple of verses from this chapter. And many times, you know, John, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the Bible says. John the Baptist. I answer the phone sometimes and I say, Bob the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the bayou. They say, what? You know. I've said that many times. I started to put that on my answer machine. But anyway, John was a prophet of God. He loved the Lord. Forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ, related to Him. And we find here that in verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Now here's a verse. How many of you have favorite verses? Sign your name by, letters, checkbooks, things like that. We've got a man in our church that this is his verse. John 3:30. It says here, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. What a statement, amen? He must increase. John didn't come to make a name. He didn't come to be popular. You know, he didn't ride into town, you know, and all this kind of, I mean, John just preached the Word of God. He proclaimed the truth about the Messiah. And he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John, again, wasn't trying to make a name for himself. I want you to turn to Matthew, just a verse or two about John. And we'll go back to chapter 1. Go to Matthew chapter 11. There's many verses dealing with him. Matthew 11, notice a couple of things here. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said about John. John is in prison, according to verse 1 through 6. John sent some of his disciples to speak with the Lord Jesus Christ. John's in prison for his faith. He's in prison because of being the forerunner of the Messiah. He's in prison for preaching the Word of God. He's in prison for something that most would not stand for in the time in which you and I live. Lost his head because of doctrines from the Scripture. Because of standing and looking at a king and saying, thus saith the Lord. Lost his head. But I want you to notice what Jesus Christ had to say about him. As we began reading in verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Well, what are you looking for when you went out to see John? But what went ye out for to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Saying, what about this man, John? What kind of person was he? Verse 9, but what went ye out for to see a prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. And he says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. He had a preparing ministry. His entire ministry was centered around preparing people to meet the Savior. You see. And then it says, and verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John said, I must decrease, but the Lord, He must increase. He had a good balance of what it means with ministry. And I mean, I honestly look into the world today, the majority of preachers, they're more concerned about making a name for themselves than they are to glorify Christ and preach His gospel. Well, back in John, and notice with me here, we're going to go ahead and wind this down, but notice in John chapter 1 again, wonderful things. We're just getting started in this book. But let's say a few things about the verses 11, 12, and 13. I want you to notice here, he said in verse 11, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now verse 10, the Bible says He was in the world, and the world was created by Him, but the world knew Him not. They did not recognize the time when God visited them in the person of Jesus Christ. But it said He came unto His own received Him not. Jesus was born into the Jewish nation. And He came to minister to them, to die for their sins. And the majority did not even know who He was. But I want you to notice with me in verse 12. In verse 12. He said in verse 12, He said, But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now let me make a few comments on these verses, and we may come back and run just a few references on them next week. But notice in verse 12, we find here that He said, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now He came unto His own, the majority of His own did not even receive Him. We know that this gospel went beyond the Jewish nation. It went to the Gentile world, you see. And as we look into this and consider this, we find here that He sets apart two groups of people. In verse 11, those who would not receive Him. Verse 10. Then in verse 12, those who would receive Him. And then as we look at this, we find that He said He would give them power. Those that would receive Him. What does it mean to receive? To believe, to trust. And He gives him power, that is the privilege or the right or the authority to become the sons of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1 and many other places, you and I are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let me just briefly comment on this and then we'll close. Verse 13, look at this carefully, verse 13. He said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now think about this statement that is made here. He tells us, now we know that we are born again if we're saved here tonight. The new birth, regeneration. Born from above, born of the Spirit. Now this new birth, he's saying, was of God. This is not of any other means. He said it is of God. Natural birth introduces us to physical life. We understand that. But we find that spiritual birth introduces us to spiritual life. The new birth, you see. Now, look at this. He says there's three things that he mentions. He said, which were born, not of blood. Think about that. Not of blood, not of physical birth. Has nothing to do with physical birth. It has nothing to do with our family tree. It has nothing to do with our lineage, our ancestry. It has nothing. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to, enjoy your ancestry or anything like that. But it has nothing to do with that. It's not hereditary. It does not run in the veins. It is not in the blood. Thank God for that. Amen. He says here, which were born not of blood. You know, the Jews put great stock in the fact that they were the physical seed of Abraham. John chapter 8, they said, hey, we be Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. Right. They were physical descendants of Abraham. But it did not get them into the kingdom of God. The Bible says we're not born again of corruptible seed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, but of incorruptible seed. In Romans 9, he even says that not all Israel is Israel. In other words, everyone that was a Jew was not a true Jew just because they were physically related to Abraham or whoever. Well, he says it's not of blood. He said it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of human design. He says also, it's not of the, or nor of the will of man. It's not of anything that we have done or could do. There's no human determinations or efforts that can get us into the kingdom of God. He was in the world, created the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then he says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name, which were born. Notice they're born. We'll talk about that when we get into chapter 3. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's exactly what John chapter 3 deals with in the whole chapter really, but especially the first part. It's the divine work of God Almighty. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2 and in verse 9. It's of the Lord and it's not of what we can do. Now you can spend your life worrying about whether you got the gift of tongues. You can spend your life worrying about whether you're saved or not, whether you can lose it and get it. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And He's the one that saves me. And maybe I can be busy about telling people about that and trying to live for Him instead of trying to hang on, you know, and trying to figure out whether I've got it or not. Amen. And I thank God that salvation is of the Lord. It is a divine work of God. It's a divine work of grace. It is not by what we have done or what we can accomplish, and it has nothing to do with what nationality we're born in. By the way, there is only one race in the Scripture. The Bible says there is one blood. One blood. We all go back to Noah and his family. We all go back to Adam and Eve. I love to hear, well, I don't really love it, to what people try to finagle Genesis 10, and they want, and what they try to do with certain colors and this, that, and the other people and so forth. We're all related. You may not like it, but we are all related, and we're all descendants of Adam. The Bible says that he bare a son in his own image in Genesis 5:3. Guess what? His image was marred. And he bare a son in his own image. And you and I go all the way back to Adam. This is why that our salvation has to be of God. It cannot be of our descendants. It cannot be of lineage, family, physical birth, none of these kind of things. It has to be by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's a work of God Almighty. So maybe we'll give some other references there in that. Some of those are like John 8, Romans 9, and 1 Peter 1:23, just dealing with the fact of our salvation not being through anything physically, anything that we can do. Well, these are wonderful passages, are they not? And we'll pick up in verse 14 next week and continue to progress through chapter 1. It's going to take us probably 2 or 3 more weeks to get just through chapter 1. But no hurry, right?
Right.
No hurry. If the Lord comes before we finish, that'd be fine. He'll be a lot better teacher than I will be anyway. He'll finish up the book for us. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Any prayer requests? Any prayer requests?